When I became sole pastor here a couple months ago, I truly was very blessed. Not only to be a pastor, but to be a pastor of a stable, loving congregation. I'm reminded so often as I read the pastor-only forums on Facebook of the issues that other pastors face of not having insurance, of not being able to get paid, of having to get a secular job or having to merge with other congregations just to be able to pay the bills. This congregation and the two boards have historically practiced exceptional budget practices, and I consequently pastor a church with no debt and an income to expense ratio that is enviable. Now, I'm working to change some of that, just kidding. But financially, this church is known for its stewardship. And on the surface, one would be tempted just to bypass the gospel reading and preach on something else. But I think even as great stewards, there's something that we can learn from the gospel reading for today individually and corporately. The opening of Jesus' parable for today simply states, "The land of a rich man produced plentiful," from the last part of verse 16. The story could be told in many ways, and it could easily be any one of our stories. No, we have a great job, we've got a new car, we've got a good bonus check from our employer, and we've made some wise investments. Unfortunately, those blessings do not always lead us to be thankful. Sometimes it's like eating salty food, like pretzels or potato chips, or Lay's. The more we eat, the more we want. You just can't have one. It's like that with everything else. I want a little bigger income, a little more leisure time, a little better health. Now, the rich man in the gospel also needed more. He needed bigger granaries for his harvest. But this was a problem that he knew how to solve. "I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods," from verse 18. Now, we may be asking ourselves, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with a good job, a nice house? What's wrong with a comfortable pension? What's wrong with being rich? Well, there's really nothing wrong with that, not in and of itself. Now, if you were to look in your Bible, you might find over this section a heading labeling this as the parable of the rich fool. However, he wasn't a fool for being rich. In fact, he may have been just a really great farmer and a really shrewd manager. In this case, the man was a fool because of the wrong conclusions he drew from being rich. His riches turned out to be foolishness because they were wrongly used. But what really demonstrates the rich man's foolishness was this. With all of his ability and his foresight and his planning, he forgot to reckon what was the most important reality of all. The reality that was brought home to him when God said, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?" From verse 20. His riches had no lasting value. They were a temporary blessing. Sooner or later, they will be taken away from him. Or more accurately, he would be taken away from them. Even more contrary to the rich man's thinking, these things were not really his own, even though he may have thought they were his. It's interesting to look at the pronouns in the man's speech. "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, from verses 17 through 19. Now, it's easy for us to talk that same way. It's easy for us to think that same way. My job, my house, my car, my money. But are they really ours? The best farmer cannot cause his seed to sprout, the sun to shine, or the rain to fall. All the blessing that we have that are ours are because God has entrusted them to us and given us the privilege and the responsibility to use and manage them only for a short time. A bank teller may handle thousands and thousands of dollars a day, but if he tries to take any of that money for her own, she would be a thief. The rich man, assuming he would never have to give an account for his greed or his covetousness, was actually stealing the gifts that God had entrusted to his care. So whatever material blessings you enjoy, remember it is God who placed them into your hands. Accept the reality that one day, no matter how hard you try to grasp hold onto them, eventually they will slip through your fingers. Earthly poverty and wealth are always fleeting things. But after this life is over, we will always, each one of us, face either eternal poverty or eternal wealth. To be separated from God forever is to be eternally penniless, with no hope for relief. To be in the presence of Jesus forever, now that is to be eternally rich, with true riches in ways this world will never understand. And that is why it is so important to not let the pursuit of riches in this world to get in the way of your salvation. We have an inheritance that is not measured in houses or land, dollars, or insurance policies. St. Paul reminds us in the epistle reading for today, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. We talked about that a little bit in the children's message. And a little while after our gospel lesson in Luke, Jesus tells his disciples, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." The kingdom. I read somewhere that it was an old custom that it was to bury the rich and poor alike in a burial shroud. Now, a burial shroud is fabric made out of cotton, wool, or linen, and is wrapped around the body before burial. You may remember a lot of talk about the Shroud of Turin. It was all the rage some years ago. It was said to contain the image of Christ and was the fabric that he was wrapped in right after the crucifixion. Now, I bring this up to make two points. The first one being, death doesn't care who you are or how big your bank account is. It is the great equalizer of humanity. And secondly, a burial shroud doesn't have pockets. Whatever you have, you don't take it with you. So be concerned for your soul, something that has eternal value. For hell is a truth that is often learned too late. So let's switch gears here. I'd like to ask you a question. Are we corporately, as Grace Lutheran Church, maybe just a little bit, like the rich fool in this parable? Are we storing up grain and goods? I think our annual voters' assembly meetings betray us. We spend months preparing budget numbers, each from the respective committees. And we absolutely need that, don't get me wrong. But what if we put that sort of planning into the very reason that the church is here on earth? Into making disciples, into evangelism, into doing something with the surplus of the money that we are stewards over. I want you to think about that for a minute. And it's not Bonnie Gentry's job, who just took over the evangelism director's job in June. It's not Joan's job, who was in that position lately. And it's not my job as pastor. This is our job as Grace Lutheran Church, comprised of 347 baptized members and 289 confirmed members. And I'm not attacking anyone here, and I'm not saying that we should give less so that we don't have a surplus to deal with. We have an absolutely wonderful group of people here. And I love your giving heart. And Grace has always provided great things for the community close to us, like Katie's Garden, and for the community at large, like the children in Haiti. Give more, in fact, and let's do something even more tremendous with that money. What I am saying is, let's not be like him. Let's not be like the rich fool. Let's not load up our bank account and do nothing with it. Good stewardship is about giving and doing. Money is only a small part of that. Doing is where the rubber meets the road, as they say. But let's be intentional about it. What does that look like at Grace? I don't have an answer for that. But let's talk about it. Throw out some ideas to Bonnie or to me via email. Or let's talk about it over coffee during the fellowship hour. Let's take that facelift concept of revitalization that we've started and expand it to other areas of ministry, other areas other than just our building. Let's not be the rich fool, for the time is coming when we will need to give an accounting. Let's be rich toward God and our neighbor, to the glory of God's holy name. Amen.